sins. I have already announced our subject for this evening is claiming our city for God, or claiming our city for Christ. Not that we are able to do that without the Lord. It is the Lord working in and through us that we can see our towns and our cities and our villages won for the Lord. And our text for this evening is that verse 5. The Lord giving instruction to Joshua. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. The contest for the control of the city of Jericho was a contest between good and evil. The good was the God of the Israelites, and the evil was the opposing Canaanites. And the evil of the Canaanites is described for us by Moses in Deuteronomy 18. And there we read in verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that's Canaan, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, where it just simply describes those who claim to communicate with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. That was the Canaanites. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So there we're given a description of the behavior of the Canaanites. And their actions are described by Moses, by the Lord through Moses, as an abomination. An abomination unto the Lord. On the other hand, we noted there the children of Israel were described in a very different way in the verse 13 of Deuteronomy 18. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now, when we see the word perfect, that does not mean that they were sinless. No, the word perfect there means upright. The word means sincere. And so in describing the Canaanites, they were an abomination unto the Lord. In describing the children of Israel, the Lord described them as upright and sincere. So you have the two camps, good and evil. That which was upright, or those who were upright, and those who were evil and were an abomination in the eyes of God. And we know that the thrice holy God hates sin. and he will always be on the side of uprightness and against every evil abomination. That's why the Lord was going to drive out the Canaanites and give the land to Israel. For you see, God will always judge sin. As sure as night follows day, so God's judgment follows hard on the heels of sin. Therefore the Lord set his face against the Canaanites and promised to overthrow them. As Moses said, because of these abominations, the Lord thy God to drive them out before, from before thee. Now that operation was about to begin, the driving out of the Canaanites and the Israelites claiming the land. As the captain of the hosts of the Lord appeared unto Joshua, as we noted last Lord's Day, chapter 5 and verse 14, and he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. As we pointed out, this was no angel. Joshua recognized the one who was addressing him and standing before him with drawn sword, because Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. It was the Lord himself who appeared unto Joshua and revealed to Joshua the plan for taking Jericho. Jericho was the main city that stood in the way of the Israelites going in and possessing the land of Canaan. He appeared unto Joshua to give him instructions as to how he was to lead Israel against the Canaanites and capture the city of Jericho. In other words, he told Joshua how to claim the city for the God of heaven. So that city would no longer be under the rule of all the kings of the Amorites and all the kings of the Canaanites, but under the rule of the one who is the prince of the kings of the earth, under the rule of the one who's king of kings and lord of lords. And the Lord was going to use Joshua and Israel to take the land and to take the city for God. Would we not want to see the same happen to our city? Would we not want to see the Lord move in this city where the Lord has placed us and called us to serve him? Would we not want to see the Lord capture this city for himself? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see God so work the people of our city would fall on their knees in repentance and seek the salvation of the Lord, claiming our city for Christ. We may learn something about that operation from how Israel claimed Jericho. I want you to notice, first of all, Jericho, the stronghold city. We see from the opening verse of Joshua 6, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Mark the words. Now Jericho was straitly shut up. Those words in the original are did shut up and was shut up, as though to emphasize. This city was secure as far as the Canaanites were concerned. The city was shut up. And they did shut up the city. And there you have, first of all, the difficulty. The city was shut up. There was neither going out nor coming in. Anyone who looked upon Jericho would not have seen any sign of movement. This is typical of our city, is it not? And many others like it. It is straitly shut up against the armies of the Lord. And when we speak about the armies of the Lord, we're speaking about God's people and the preaching of the word and the prayers of the saints of God and the door-to-door ministry. The city is shut up against the armies of the Lord, against the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Jericho was not conquered the first day. Jericho was not conquered the first day. Indeed, the children of Israel, the men of war, the priests with their trumpets and carrying the Ark of the Covenant and the people, they compassed the city 13 times before the city was taken, before the walls fell. And our city has been compassed about for many years with prayer, with the preaching of the word, with pamphlet distribution, and even for a while, a radio ministry. But it still remains shut up. No going out, no coming in, no sign of movement. We're reminded by the Lord what needs to be done. In Matthew chapter 12, and verse 29, the words of the Savior, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" And who is in control of our city and many other cities in North America? None other than the strong man. And who is the strong man? Why, the strong man is the devil himself. And what do we need to see done? We need to see the strong man bound. We need to see the defeat of the devil in our city and in other places. The strong man needs to be bound. Then we will spoil his goods and claim the city for the Lord. When we talk about spoiling his goods, we're talking about robbing souls off the devil. We cannot do that, of course, ourselves. That's the work of God, but God can use us. God can use us. He has placed us here as a church, as a congregation, to win the city for God. So we see the difficulty. City was straitly shut up. Next we see the dread. The reason for the city being shut up, we're given the reason there in verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel." Because of the children of Israel. You see, the Canaanites feared the children of Israel. And they feared the God of the children of Israel even more. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. And before they were laid down, she, that is Rahab, came up unto them upon the roof, that is the spies. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So the city was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. The Canaanites in the city of Jericho were afraid of the children of Israel. And you know something? In general, that is true today. Oh, not of the children of Israel are they afraid, but of the children of God. They don't want Christians to witness to them. They don't want Christians to tell them they need to be saved. You know that when you go around the doors. You know that when you try to give out a gospel tract. They don't want to know anything about the gospel. They dread the gospel message because they're afraid to come under conviction. You ask them to come to church to hear the gospel, and they refuse. See, there's no going out and no coming in. Because they're afraid. They're afraid of hearing the gospel and afraid of coming under conviction. They don't want their way of life disturbed in any way. And so they are shut up against the children of God. They shut themselves up against the witness of the Church of Jesus Christ. The people of this city, this town, is our Jericho. And just as Corinth was, if you like, Paul's Jericho, for in Acts 18 and verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And the Lord said to Paul, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For if you look at the previous verse, you will see that Paul suffered persecution because he was a preacher of the gospel. There were those in the city of Corinth who shut themselves up against Paul and his message. But then the Lord came and said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Corinth was Paul's Jericho. But the Lord encouraged Paul by telling him, you keep preaching the word, Paul, because I have much people in this city. mine elect are in this city, and you keep preaching the word. And God has his people in this city of ours. What do we do? Do we give up? No. Did the children of Israel give up? They compassed the city 13 times. They persevered. And so it is with us. We must persevere. We must compass the city with our prayers. We must compass the city with our preaching. We also must persevere until the Lord gives the victory and lowers the walls and binds the strong man. We notice also the declaration. The Lord now has a word of encouragement for Joshua. The Lord said unto Joshua, verse 2 of chapter 6, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Joshua, I have given you the city. Now, of course, they hadn't physically taken the city. But here's the Lord's declaration. Here's the Lord's promise. What did he say? He said to Joshua, see. Now, anyone looking at the city of Jericho with the eyes of flesh, what would they see? Well, they would see a city straitly shut up, none going out and none coming in. That's what they would see if they looked at the city with the eyes of flesh. But the Lord wasn't telling Joshua to look at the city with the eyes of flesh, with his natural sight. He was wanting Joshua to look at the city with the eyes of faith. And with the eyes of faith, the Lord said, see, see, Joshua, with your eyes of faith, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Look and see by faith. I have given you the victory. A city straitly shut up against Christianity and against God's word. And we look at it with the natural eye and we cannot see the victory. We cannot see how this town where the Lord has called us to and to worship, and to serve. We cannot see this city taken for God. We can't see it being conquered. But if we look and see with the eye of faith, we can see the victory. Because, after all, that's how Jericho was conquered, by faith. For we read in Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith, and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They had already compassed the city 6 times, over 6 days. And then they compassed the city 7 times. How did they gain the victory? By faith. How will we gain the victory? By faith. That's what we sang tonight. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. With the natural eye, we say it can be possible. It's not possible. It's not possible to see revival come to the city of Port Hope. But if we look and see with the eye of faith, we can see, yes, the Lord is able to bind the strong man. The Lord is able to deliver his goods. The Lord is able to give us the victory. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So we have Jericho, the stronghold. Next, we notice Jericho and the strategy. If Jericho was to be taken, then it must be done God's way. And if we are to see our own city captured, and the strong man being bound, and the devil defeated, and souls saved and rescued, it must be done God's way. Must be. Because the arm of flesh will always fail. But if we depend and rest in the Lord, we will gain the victory. And so regarding this strategy, we see that it was a divine strategy. That is, it came from God. Verses 3, 4, and 5. We've already read them this evening. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And it shall come to pass on the 7th day, ye shall make a long blast with ram's horns. And whenever the people hear the blast of the ram's horn, everyone shall shout, and the walls will fall down flat. You know what that word means? They shall fall down flat. The word means that the walls fell right down into the ground. Because you imagine what it would have been like if the walls just crumbled. It would have been difficult for the men of war to have gone into the city. It had to climb over the rubble. But whenever the walls fell down, they fell down flat, or the word flat means under it. And I had the privilege on a couple of occasions to go to Jericho, and I saw those very walls. There they were, down in the ground. The walls were complete. But the soil around the walls had been excavated and removed so that you could stand and look down. And there are the walls, right down into the ground. See? The Lord does all things well. And that's what he did here for the children of Israel. This was his strategy. Regarding this divine strategy, it was unusual. Who would ever have thought of conquering a city in this way? Matthew Henry, great Bible commentator, he observed, I quote, he said, no trenches were to be opened, no batteries erected, no battering rams drawn up, nor any military preparations made. Israel was simply told to compass the city. But this was God's way, whether it appeared unusual or not. But then we have learned, I'm sure, believer, through the years, we have learned that God's way does not always appear to be correct according to human reasoning. We try to reason it all out in our minds and we say, this will never work. But we know at the same time, as we have learned, God's way is always best, even though at times it may not seem to make sense. God sent David, a 17-year-old, out against Goliath, who defied the mighty men of Israel. And what did David go out with? Oh, Saul put his armor on him. It was far too big. Took it off. And what did he go out against this giant of a man who was skilled in war? A sling and a few stones. And human reasoning would have said, David, don't be so foolish. You'll never be able to overthrow Goliath with a sling and a handful of stones. But it was God's way. And he did slay Goliath and gave Israel the victory. We noted on Wednesday evening in John 21, the disciples had gone back to their fishing, Peter and six other disciples, and they labored all night and they caught nothing. Then the Lord appeared in the morning and told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. Do you know something? That was the wrong time to do the fishing. Why did the disciples go out at night? Because that was the proper time to fish. The Lord didn't tell the disciples, well, you may wait until the next night. No, he sent them out in the morning. To those fishermen, that did not make sense. But to the Lord it did, because they filled the net with fish. The Lord may use at times unusual methods to gain us and to give us the victory. But if it's the Lord's way, we will gain the victory, no matter how unusual the strategy or the plan may be. Think of it. Think of the words of Paul. Paul said, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That doesn't make sense, does it? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world and the thing to confound, to overthrow the things that are mighty. The foolish to defeat the wise, and the weak to defeat the mighty. But that's God's way. So while the strategy called for by the Lord to conquer Jericho may in the eyes of some seem foolish, yet it was victorious. Why was it victorious? Because it was God's way. And this teaches us, believer, always go God's way. Always go God's way. So while God may command us to do certain things which according to human reasoning do not make any sense, let us obey his word. How was Jericho conquered? By faith. And what did the Lord say in Matthew 9, verse 29? According to your faith be it unto you. So when the Lord gives us his plan, we adopt that plan by faith. Because we're told, have faith in God. Don't lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, thy paths. We see that it was unusual, this strategy or this plan. We see also that it was unchallenged. Joshua received the Lord's instruction. This unusual plan to conquer Jericho. And what did Joshua do? Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Joshua did not challenge the word he received from the Lord. Joshua did not say, but dear Lord, this will never work. We need to bring in our military might. We'll not be able to conquer Jericho this way. No. And we have learned in our study of Joshua, whatever the Lord told him to do, he did it. Without challenging or questioning or doubting the Lord at all. And tended to it immediately. And that's what he did on this occasion. See, when we obey the Lord and we go about his business, implementing his plan, carrying out his strategy, and we do so without questioning the Lord, he'll give us the victory. Deuteronomy 19. And verse 9, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three. In other words, the Lord said, I'll give you more cities. If you obey my word, if you obey my word, if you heed what I'm telling you, if you implement my plan, I'll not only give you one city, I'll give you three cities, and I'll give you three more. See, he leads us on from victory to victory. So we have then the declaration. What the Lord told Joshua to do. It was a divine strategy. And then we notice the divisions in the strategy. The Lord told Joshua the order that he wanted the people to go up against Jericho. Men of war are mentioned, priests are mentioned, and the re-regard are mentioned, and the people are mentioned. And notice the Lord was very specific in the order. Because you see, our God is a God of order. And when you look at the verses before us, we see, first of all, those who were in the vanguard against Jericho were the men of war, or the armed men. Verse 3, verse 9, verse 13. So the men of war, or the armed men, went first. Then they were followed by seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn. Verse 6 and verse 8. The third division was made up of seven priests that shall bear the ark. Verse 4. And the fourth division was the re-regard, verse 9, verse 13, verse 16. And the re-regard, the word re-regard there is a word which means the gathering host. In other words, the rest of the people, the children of Israel. So we get the picture. First of all, the men of war, they led the way. Then after them, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets. Then after them, seven priests who carried the ark. Then after them, the people, the whole host of Israel. What does this all mean? First of all, the men of war, those who were armed, they were the warriors. Who do these warriors represent? They represent for us prayer warriors. Isn't that what every church is crying out for? Prayer warriors. And whatever we do, believer, prayer must go first. So we have then the men of war. It was prayer that conquered the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. It was prayer that conquered the Isle of Lewis during the Great Revival. It was prayer that changed the face of Ulster in 1859 when over 100,000 souls were won for Christ. Prayer. And prayer warriors must lead the way in whatever we do for God. Then the men of war were followed by seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. These seven priests with their ram's horns that were trumpets typify the preacher of the word. Isaiah 58 verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Reference there is to preachers or prophets. And so the priests with the ram's horns, blowing them as trumpets, represent the preacher, the faithful preacher of the word. Must be a faithful preacher. Because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, and there's many a man who claims to be a minister, and they're blowing their trumpet and it gives an uncertain sound because they're not preaching the truth. And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Ram's horns. Ram's horns speak of power. You don't want to stand in front of a ram when it's coming to charge you. You'll get out of the way. The horn speaks of power. And our gospel is a gospel of power. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice the order. It's important. The men of war first, the warriors, the prayer warriors, if you like. Then the preaching. That must always be the order. As we read in Acts 6 and verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer first, then the ministry of the word. Then came the seven priests bearing the ark. We've already learned the ark speaks to us of the Lord and his presence. When they crossed over Jordan, the ark went first, led the way. But here as they go against Jericho, where do we find the ark? The ark is in the midst. You have the men of war, you have the warriors, you have the priests and their ram's horns. Then came the ark. It was in the midst of the division, or the midst of those who went up against Jericho. If we are to see our cities won for the Lord must always be in the midst. We notice also then the people are the reward. They came after. We're going to see the victory in our cities, see the strong man defeated, see souls saved, then the Lord must always be in the midst. In the midst of our praying, in the midst of our preaching, in the midst of our prayers. We have, regarding this strategy, it was divine strategy. We have the divisions of the strategy, and we have the dependence in the strategy. The Lord had told Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Joshua was not going to take the city without the Lord. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. The battle was the Lord's. And as we have already discovered, if we're going to see our town won for Christ, we must go about it God's way. In Deuteronomy 20, in verse 1, the Lord said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not. Do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The Lord was saying, depend on me. Must be done God's way. In the way that we have outlined, prayer warriors, preaching the word, the presence of the Lord in the midst, and the people. That's God's way. When I was home in Ulster there in March, I was told about a church, well, calls itself a church, in a certain town, and they have hundreds, hundreds and hundreds attending it. And you take a look at that church, and their motto is, or their slogan is, "We reflect the heart of God." And they go into the town, people from this church, and they'll go and they'll cut people's lawns, they'll go and do the shopping for people, they'll go and do messages and all the rest of it. They say they are reflecting the heart of God. But what goes on in that place under the name of God is blasphemous. They have Sundays on the Lord's Day afternoon in the church. One of their activities and their events is a fashion show with a catwalk. Models walking along here showing, demonstrating their garments. That is not reflecting the heart of God. They have their Christian rock concerts. Now you know why there's a crowd. Because it all appeals to the flesh. It doesn't do a solitary thing for the soul. And they may have a crowd attending, but they'll not win the town for God. Because they're not going about it God's way. It is more of the devil about it than the Lord. I've only outlined a few things. There's a whole host of other events they have. No, we need to depend on the Lord. In the last place, and with that I'll close quickly, you have Jericho and the support. We mentioned the warriors representing prayer warriors. We mentioned the priest carrying the ram's horns, representing the preachers of the word. The priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant, representing the Lord's presence. And then you have the re-regard, the rest of the children of Israel. What were they to do? We're told in the verse 5, "And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout." That's all they did. That's all they did. There you have the helpers. And you know there's something for us all to do. No matter how simple it may be, you couldn't get anything more simple than shouting. And they shouted. They were helpers and they were honored, because you will read that whenever the people shouted on the 13th compassing of the city, that's when the wall fell. And as far as conquering our city for God is concerned, there's something for us all to do. We can all be helpers in the Lord's work. Trust we've learned a few lessons from this incident regarding Jericho and it being taken for God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.